So that's what I don't understand. It's like, we all know it was a blessing from God that this happened. And so to have the Pope, who is closest to God, say that this is wrong and disgusting, and I don't even understand it. I can't comprehend it.
Welcome to Girls Gone Gritty.
I'm Farley Boyle.
I'm Darian Boyle.
And I'm Jennifer Brenius.
Collectively, we're two sister-in-laws with our bestie.
We don't just talk. We do it. Day, night, mountain, beach, and city.
Get ready as we bring gratitude and attitude to everything we do.
We jump in head first, unafraid, and we're all in all the time.
We bring it on and get it on each week, diving deep into authentic, unscripted conversations
on just about everything.
So,
let's get gritty. Bring it on.
Welcome to Girls Gone Gritty. This is Farley Boyle, and I have the pleasure of introducing not only our first Girls Gone Gritty guest, but she also happens to be one of my very best friends, and her name is Christine Lefebvre. She is one of the most overqualified humans on the planet, whether it's her legal eagle background. She's, you know, responsible for mergers and acquisitions with very high profile sports characters, and she also is a model and has a very,
was a model.
Well, you know, you're still a model citizen to me.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Her hubby is Ludovic Lefebvre. He is a renowned French chef, and I have to say, she's the great Oz behind his curtain. It takes a lot. It takes a village, and Chrissy is a village in every sense of the word. She there's really nothing that she can't do. She's helped me so much with, like, the evolution of Chase for Life and legitimizing me on all legal ends. She just got us the rights to Seals, Bring It On, to kind of make
bring
us a little
on,
bit
bring
more,
it on.
A little more valid. But the real reason that we have her as our unbelievable guest today is we share an incredible bond. And that bond is we have children together. And it might not be, I was not the surrogate. We're discussing surrogacy here. I was the egg donor. But, you know, there's a big debate here. And we are the winners of this debate because our story is real. And she ended up with twins, a boy and a girl. And we're going to kind of take you through this little journey and how kind of riffed or miffed we were when we saw that the Pope recently tried to put a ban on surrogacy. So I'm going to introduce you to Chrissy and let her kind of take the stage. Hi, Pooh.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Hi, Chrissy. Welcome to Girls Gone Gritty.
Thank you
so much for being our first guest. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you. The kids are like, did you ask to be on it? Because I keep making them listen to the show. I said, it just makes me so happy to hear Farley talk all the time. And they're like, so when I said I was doing the show, they're like, did you ask her? I was like, no, I didn't ask her. She asked me to stop.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you have to let our viewer, our listener, kind of understand the trials and tribulations that you went through because you wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
Tell us about your journey.
My journey, a condensed version of my journey. At 35, I was diagnosed with cancer and found out that I would be needing a hysterectomy and wouldn't be able to have children. And before I did that, I harvested some eggs and Ludo contributed his portions. And we had some embryos that were sitting in a freezer until we could reach the place that, you know, we were able to afford surrogacy. Because from the medical cost to the emotional cost to, you know, the cost to pay an oven to cook your bread, it's very expensive. So we went through that process and, you know, thanks to Hugh Hefner, I was allowed to be able to afford that process. And
we forgot to mention that she was a very, she posed for Playboy. But it was really because she was so proud of just being a female, even though her body wasn't allowing her to kind of do what she'd been put on this planet to do. But, you know, she's a woman and she was proud of her parts. And before she had to kind of get rid of some of them, I think that was, you know.
No, it was after. So it was
after.
I was on The Apprentice And I made it 12 out of 13 episodes. And after the former president fired me. Stupidest. He was like, you're fired.
He wanted her to move to New York City, and she was just not going to have that. So he kind of understood that that was not non-negotiable.
Yeah. So he fired me. And I, in my practice of law, I had negotiated multiple celebrities' contracts with Playboy. And I knew the West Coast editor really well. And she was like, well, how did you do? She's like, I know you can't tell me, but is it interesting enough for a cover? And I was like, yeah, I think it's interesting enough for a cover. So we negotiated a contract, and I was able to get paid the same way that the celebrities got paid, and which would allow us to have, you know, go through the process of surrogacy and hopefully one day have our children. So after we did that, and we'd gone through two failed adoptions already, we'd gone through a failed Chinese adoption, and we had gone through a failed adoption in Indiana, where the courts gave the baby to the foster mom who had only, I mean, the baby was only 4 months old. And the foster mom had filed for bankruptcy. Their house was in foreclosure. The husband,
biologicals.
Her husband was 50, something like 52 year weeks arrears in child support for his own kids. She had a criminal record for stealing formula. So clearly she can't afford to feed the baby. She was, both of her parents had died in their 50s. Both of her parents had died in their 50s from heart disease. And she at the time was, I think, about 280 pounds and was on heart medication and pain medication for her back. I mean, they're just, it wasn't a life for the child. The parents had agreed to allow Ludo and I to adopt the baby. But she went into early labor. And when they went into labor, the father had given her cocaine to numb the pain. And so the baby was born with drugs in its system. So the baby went into the foster care system. So then I had to start a fight in the foster care system. The judge ultimately decided, and this was their ruling, that Ludo and I were the picture perfect Hollywood couple. And therefore, if this child was anything less than perfect, she would have a disappointing life with us.
Disturbing.
I'm so sorry. That's disturbing. It's so hard to adopt.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. One list at a time.
It's crazy. So we could have, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I imagine if we look for this girl now that was 14 years ago, I'm sure she has her own child at this point. If she's still alive, like there was just no way. Their house was in foreclosure. I mean, I don't know how any responsible judge does that. All of that aside, I truly hope that that child had some chance. The state wasn't giving her that chance, but
it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be.
No. You know, we had the same situation in China. We got tied up in paperwork, and then somebody that I knew had turned in their application at the same time I did, or actually, I think 6 weeks after me, and they all of a sudden had a baby. I'm like, well, how do you have a baby? Like, how did that happen? And they said, well, you just got to pay. I'm like, I can't afford to pay, like, extra. Yeah. And it was like 20,000 extra, and they were able to jump the line. So when I called the agency, I'm like, I don't understand. This is crazy. It's been, you know, 36 months. And they said, oh, we have a child for you. And they sent me a child with a horrifying cleft palate. And, you know, they said, you can take, you know, we have a child with disabilities available for you right now. And it was such a hard, it was so hard to have, like, I wanted a child so bad. I did not want to, like, say, oh my gosh, this child's not perfect. I don't want to take it. But, you know, as my doctor, so many people were like, you're literally buying a lifetime of medical bills for this child. And that's not, that's not what you signed up for, because that's not what you went into this. You didn't go into this saying, I want a special needs child. And the fact that the agency has screwed up and they're going, oh, here's a baby, take it. It was such a moral dilemma for me. I felt so horrible. I mean, I don't know, you know, how many days I cried going, oh my God, I can't, why can't I take this baby? What's wrong with me? Like, I have to help this baby. And they're like, you don't have to help this baby. That's not what you went into it for. You're not mentally ready for that. Like, you've been so sick yourself, and now you're gonna do this. Like, if that's what happened when you had your own child, you'd take care of it. But because the agency screwed up and they're just trying to satisfy their check the box, it's not fair to you. So I made a really hard decision, and we just elected not to move forward with that adoption. And you know, it was like trying to figure out how to make surrogacy happen at that point. And so, as I said, when I got fired from The Apprentice and the opportunity came to show what God gave me with a little help here and there, I did it.
And when was that? When was that, Chrissy? What, like,
that was in 1996.
Okay.
So 1996, the, yeah, well, we filmed in 96. Yeah,
hired by Trump, hired by you.
Yeah. I know. I should name the kids Hef.
Thanks, Hef.
Yeah. So, so we went through a process. We had we had harvested eggs before my hysterectomy. And so we had some embryos waiting for us. We found a surrogate. We did two or three, it all becomes a blur at this point. We did two or three tries with the first surrogate, and none of them worked. And
two. I think we did two.
No, these were still my eggs.
Me. Oh, yeah. Okay.
This was before you. And I remember being in New Jersey for the beach volleyball tournament on the shore, because I was working for the AVP at the time.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out that, you know, the last transfer with the surrogate didn't work, and I'm crying my eyes out, and Farley's like, it's okay. And I'm like, but I don't have any more eggs. And Farley's like, in the Farley way, eggs, I got eggs, I'll give you eggs, it's no problem, I'll give you eggs. And I still feel like it's like a movie script. Then you cue front, I said, well, I think maybe you should talk to Patrick. Cue front door opening. Pat walks in. Hey, Pat, I'm going to give Chrissy and Ludo some eggs so they can have some babies. It's like, cool. You got a beer? Like, that was literally the conversation.
Sounds like my brother.
It was literally the conversation.
Well, you know what? I mean, he walked in the door. We're in a rental because we were renovating our house. And, you know, Chrissy was like, it was an emotional situation. And I really think the reason that we were awarded was because it came from my heart. Like, I saw my friend devastated that this was, you know, the end of the road for her. And I was like, no, actually it's not. You know, you and I kind of look alike, and on paper we're pretty identical. And I'm lucky enough to be able to have the children I have. I'm kind of done. Like, I had three girls at that moment. I wasn't planning on having
any more. So this is like 10 years later then, right? So if it was 1996, so that would be like 2006 you're having this conversation, just so we frame how long you were going through this whole thing, Chrissy?
Oh, shoot. No, you're 2006. I'm sorry. 1996, I was still in college.
Oh.
Listen,
menopause
brain. I heard you guys talking about it's menopause brain.
See, you have baby brain, even though you didn't have to give birth. And so we have the same
problem. I just have mom brain. I had 5 kids on a trampoline last night. I'm like, what?
Did you ever think of asking a friend for their eggs? Did it ever cross your mind? Or did you always think, all right, I'm going to go find elsewhere?
No, I thought we were done at that point. I wasn't going to go just find a random. And so when Farley, in 2007 is when I posed for Playboy. So then it was like 2009, I guess, this happened, because we'd been through the transfers with the other surrogate. So yeah, it was about 2009. And
so for like three years, you were trying to have the eggs and that, like,
yes, with the other surrogate. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'd been through, I mean, it was about a year break first before I was emotionally ready. Then we found the surrogate. We went through all, you know, the negotiations, which is part of what the debate is right now. But we had a contract and negotiations and things that she wanted and things that we wanted that were important to us. I'm glad that I had the first one because I learned a lot in the second one. But yeah, I mean, when Farley offered, it was not something that had crossed my mind at that point. I literally that day, I thought I was done. Like it was done. Like I need to start planning my life as double income, no kids, which would have been fantastic, but I would have always had a, you know, a hole in my heart somewhere. And when Farley just, because she's Farley, eggs, I got eggs. So we, you know, we went through this process and, you know, she's drugging herself up with hormones and I'm there when she's goes in to have her eggs retrieved and Chase tells everybody at school that her mommy's going to lay eggs so Aunt Chrissy and Uncle Ludo can have babies.
Oh yeah. I mean, the process was pretty interesting because, you know, we didn't really skip a beat. As soon as I offered, yeah, I saw hope in my friend who just had a hole in her heart. And it was like, hey, wait, we're not thrown in the towel yet. We're going to do this. And not only did we really do it, but it became like an obstacle course. So Chrissy and Ludo are like flying in to do this with a fertility doctor that's in my backyard. And, you know, every time we walked into the door of this fertility doctor's office, he was like a doom and gloom statistic guy that kept on saying my eggs were old and statistically we were not like the right, you know, I was not the right donor. And I got so annoyed with him at one point. I just looked at him and I'm like, you know what? You are not God. Like there are miracles that happen every day and this is bigger than you. And we're coming in here believing in something bigger than you and bigger than science. Like it's called love.
And how old were you at that point, Far?
I mean, if I had Abby in 2005, it was probably, was it 2010? I mean, I was
40. 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, so you weren't even 40. And this doctor was telling you that.
Yeah, I was just not the right, you know, I was 38. I can't remember exactly what
37, 38. Yeah. He was like, she's too old. I mean, he pulled me aside. I wouldn't recommend this. You need 22-year-old young eggs.
But doctors go off algorithms. All of the IVF doctors are all about algorithms and they can't say, oh, it's great, it's going to work. They have to be doom and gloom because the success rate it's not always 100% and there's problems and it's not an easy road. And you're old. You're old. You're like, thanks, guys, but I'm not.
We needed to only hear it once. Okay, guess what? You're not the ideal, you know, demographic. This is a little bit of an issue. I just want you to be aware up front of the odds that you're against. But like, we didn't need to hear it every single time we walked in the door. And that's what he did.
Well, and so
you guys had love. You guys had
love. Yeah, and that first cycle, he so overstimulated you your first cycle.
Yeah,
I mean, her follicles were, for anybody who knows, her follicles were exploding on like day four.
Yeah.
And they ended up having to retrieve the eggs early. And so none of them ended up being great. So you did it a second time.
Then we did it a second time and actually went into, we had several, right? And we froze some others. It was done correctly this time, but the second take didn't work with this.
Yeah,
particular
I think we
target.
Had five embryos that formed. And then we put in two the first time and that didn't work. With a new surrogate. And after that one didn't work, we took a little bit of a break. And then one day I was just sitting around with Ludo and I'm like, I can't just leave three there. I can't, I have to know. And Ludo was about to turn 40 and we had already planned, like he was going to get, you know, the French man and his American dream. He was going to get his 1968 convertible Mustang. We were going to go scuba diving in Fiji. And I'm like, but I had to try one more time. And so I called our surrogate and she was like, I would love to. And she did. And we put in all three. Cause I'm like, what am I going to do? Put in two. And then like, we just put in all three. And in her contract, this is it's funny in hindsight. In her contract, she's not allowed to take an over-the-counter pregnancy test. It is only to be done by blood work in the hospital, because you can get false negatives and it can be pregnant for a day and not. So you have to wait whatever 8, 9, 10 days that it is to actually have a blood test. And I wake up one morning to a series of text photos that she had taken, I believe, 10 pregnancy tests, and they were all positive. But I was so mad at her, because I was like, I can't deal with this false hope anymore. Like, you're going to the doctor in 2 days. Don't do this to me. Don't talk to me. Like, just go away. Just stop right now. I didn't want to talk to her. And she's texting back, and she said, look, I have 2 kids. I know I'm pregnant. I just know. Like, and so I had to take as many tests to keep proving it. She says, but I'll talk to you again after we go to the doctor. So she went in, and of course her numbers were off the charts. And then she was about, when do you get the heartbeat sonogram?
Like 8 weeks.
Okay. So she was a couple, yeah, I don't know. She was a couple of weeks before that. Ludo and I were in Paris, and she had gone to the emergency room because she was bleeding. And we were all supposed to listen to the heartbeat in like 2 days. And she calls and she says, oh, I just want to let you know, I was in the emergency room last night. I was bleeding. Everything is okay. I just need to stay in bed a little bit. She says, but I have some news for you. And she's saying it really melancholy. She's like, I have some news for you. So I just, are you somewhere where you can talk? And I'm like, I'm in the middle of a department store in Paris. I said, just tell me, Kimberly, just tell me. She's like, well, there's 2 heartbeats. I was like, oh, shit. So it's not like it's a very slight heart, you know, it was anyway. So
how hard is it? How hard is it not to, like, how hard was it, I should say, to have all your faith, your kids, everything, like a phone call away, and not be experiencing it like from start to finish?
I mean, it's definitely hard, and it's still something that I deal with. I don't ever, you know, I never got to feel the miracle of childbirth, because the babies came early as well. I mean, I was scheduled to be, you know, we were scheduled to be in the delivery room, and she delivered early. And so it was, you know, it was sad in that sense, but, you know, the miracle happened, and it was a true miracle. So now we can get onto the really controversial subject about that oven that I used.
So, I mean, it's actually a very interesting debate. And, you know, initially I was so annoyed that somebody would try to even suggest that they could ban surrogacy, or that they wanted to implement some type of a ban, because it's such a personal journey for me, and it was successful. And, you know, you have these beautiful children that you absolutely had every right to have. So, you know, I'm going to tee you up on that note, Chrissy, with your legal brain. And why don't you try to, you know, kind of break it down for us a little bit?
Yeah, well, we had a very detailed surrogacy contract. In our contract, we were able to get a pre-birth order naming Ludo and I the birth, you know, the parents that would be put on the birth certificate when we went into the hospital and when they were born. I mean, I will say, up into the time that we saw the birth certificate, it is still scary, because the hospital has to participate in it. And, you know, they have an order sitting in front of them. And I'm like, is my name going to be on there? It was no question that Ludo's name was going to be on there. It was the question of whether my name was going to be on there. But we had the order, and we had zero problems. And I was just concerned because I wasn't there when the birth happened. So it's like, you're really asking this third party now. Like, we want this person who you've never met's name to be on this birth certificate. But, you know, Kimberly, she obviously said, these are not my children. I was here to help somebody. And I did that. And, you know, we had a flawless experience with her, truly flawless. You know, I went out for a couple of sonograms. You know, I got to rub the pregnant belly, and, you know, I talked to her a lot. I we didn't become best friends out of it. I mean, I think maybe if we would have been in the same town and I would have hung out with her a lot more. I just think because there'd been so many years of disappointment that I was afraid to get too close because I didn't, I don't think I could have handled another person's disappointment on top of my disappointment. So, and I asked her if she wanted, because people were like, oh my God, your surrogacy sounded so amazing. Would she do another one? And she said to me, absolutely not. She said, it was perfect. And I don't want to have any memory other than what this experience was. We have beautiful, healthy children. You know, the donor was perfect. You guys were amazing. I don't want to have a bad experience. And I don't think that, you know, I'll find that right balance again. I think because ours did come so much from love all the way across the board that's what made it perfect for everybody.
I'm sure it's not that easy for everybody. I'm sure it doesn't always go as planned. I mean, someone all of a sudden carries the baby and is like, you know what? I'm not giving it up because it becomes part of you. So you were so blessed with your whole experience when Farley would tell me, I got chills head to toe. Like, this was so meant to be. It's mm-hmm. Those babies are yours, and can't imagine what was going through your mind the first time you went and you hugged them and you looked into both their eyes, a boy and a girl, and you're like, oh my God.
So hungover. I probably smelled like booze because they came early and we were literally leaving like 5 days later. And so I first get a text from Kimberly and says, my water broke. Next thing I know, we get a picture of Luca. And then it's like 25 minutes before and then it's silence. And we're like, well, where's Rev? And then 25 or 30 minutes later, they send me a picture, you know, send us a picture of Rev. And all of our friends come over because I'm changing my flight. And then it's like a midnight flight. And so by the time, you know, I got in a car to go to the airport, hammered, just like, let me sleep on the plane. Thought I was going to miss my connection in Indiana. I got my rental car and I went straight to the hospital. So I'm sure I reeked of alcohol. And Farley, you know what I realized reading your mom's story? The kids were born at Penn State.
They were born at Penn State?
Yeah.
That is crazy. Penn State.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Awesome.
You know, all the controversy that comes up around surrogacy, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it because I come from, I guess, what is a really beautiful experience that came from love. And I had a commercial surrogate. And my commercial surrogate did it because she felt like she wanted to do something in life. And of course she got paid. Why should she give up her God blessed? I mean, she's blessed that she was able to carry babies and not have any problems. You know, it is a
she
commodity in that sense. Huh?
She gave back too. You know, it's like, it's a personal choice. You know, if somebody wants to be a surrogate, it's because they want to do something. Let's say they have unbelievable pregnancies. I probably would have been your surrogate if it hadn't been too close for comfort because I happen to have great pregnancies. I loved being pregnant. My body felt good being pregnant, but that would have been just too bizarre. And the fact that you live in California and I live in New Jersey, you know, the distance is great because, you know, they're my family. You're my family. My kids look at Rev and Luca as like their half brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're half siblings. I'll never forget when Chase went to school and it was like share and tell. And she's like, well, I think she actually held up a magazine cover, same magazine cover that I paraded into Dr. Blank's office when we were successful. And I said, oh, P.S., I just want you to know, here's a cover that shows Ludo and Chrissy with their babies. And we did it. Thank you. But anyways, Chasey went into school and said, I have a baby brother and sister. And everybody's looking at her like, no, you don't. And the teacher, I think that you're confused. And she's like, no, I'm not confused. I have a baby brother named Luca and a sister named Rev. So it's a beautiful situation. I'm sad that they didn't get to spend time with my mom who just passed. They would really have loved to have forged a relationship with their other grandparents. Yeah. But, you know, this has been a joy. And it's probably one of my most proud moments in life that I could benefit my friend with the most beautiful gift of life. And, you know, my kids are my biggest accomplishments. And so the fact that I was able to contribute to you is just, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to do it. And the same with the surrogate, you know?
Yeah. So that's what I don't understand. It's like, we all know it was a blessing from God that this happened. And so to have the Pope, who is closest to God, say that this is wrong and disgusting, and I don't even understand it. I can't comprehend it. When somebody sent me that article, I said,
Child trafficking is like a harsh way to kind of describe the experience when it comes from love.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's the whole argument that's going on in our country right now. It's about what a woman can do with her own body. It's our body. It was Farley's eggs. Nobody owns her eggs but her. Kimberly owns her uterus. Why, stop trying to control women in their bodies. You know, if you want to be a porn star for money, go be a porn star for money. If you have the ability to cook eggs for somebody else and create beautiful love, positivity that comes out of this, more power to you. I just don't understand how men think that they should control anything that has to do with a woman's body.
Hallelujah.
But I think it works in both senses, because being a surrogate, and the Pope turns a blind eye. He's pro-life, and he's looking at you guys are a perfect, it couldn't have went any better. But you look at all these other situations of people that are out there, it's almost as if the whole surrogacy process is like having children being sold as merchandise. I had a friend in Tahoe, I remember years ago when I was skiing, she's like, I'm going to be a surrogate. And I said, oh, great. And she would go to LA, she'd come back, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, you're shotgunning beers. You're doing Jaeger shots. You're smoking weed. I'm like, well, is that really good for the baby? And I remember her like, oh, it's fine. You know, I'm making money and we're going to go on a surf trip. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I like sat her. I'm like, you can't do this. This family like trust you. They are like, you have a baby that you're trying to grow in your belly and you're partying. I mean, and they were partying. So you see other situations where it's people are doing it just for money. And if there's not a governing body that says, hey, you can't just like go farm it out. And hey, I'll carry a kid to make money, because there has to be trust. There has to be
a screening process,
a moral compass. How about we start?
Yeah. With moral, I don't think any of that has, that is all a person making bad decisions. And there are contracts. I mean, if you enter into a surrogacy arrangement without a contract, you're crazy. And, you know, what do you do? Like if I found out that Kimberly had been, you know, smoking crack, I mean, one, what could I have done? This is where you have to put your trust in God and some higher power out there that is going to protect you. Anything can be in writing. But everyone has to come from a good place. But I don't think saying that it's child trafficking or, you know, the horrible words that were used by the Pope, when 99% of the time it's done for the right reasons. And guess what? If she wanted to go out and make money for a ski trip, more power to her.
Like, no, it was horrible. I was like, we're not friends anymore. Yeah. But it's not just also the Pope. It's a, like a handful yeah, of all the of, other, it's the Orthodox Jews, it's the Russians, men. It's
India.
Yeah.
Lots of countries, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's just when it came from him,
I agree.
You know, having gone to Catholic school, you're like, what? Well, like, you are pro-life. Well, guess what? We're creating life.
There's a perfect scenario and then there's an imperfect scenario. Like your scenario, you did everything right. You know, you tried to give birth on your own. You tried to get pregnant. Your body wouldn't allow it. You tried to adopt. You did everything that you were supposed to do that led you to the end result. And you were, you know, rewarded. And I also believe, you know, from a religious standpoint, that God has gifted people with intelligence and science and technology that allow us to do what we can do today. Do I think some of it is taken to the next level? Absolutely. Do I think some of it is for profit? It's everywhere, you know, unfortunately. But I do think that if we are intelligent enough to be able to do what we do and it allows us to procreate and put children into a home that is filled with love, I think that that comes from above. I really do.
And, oh, there's no perfect with people. There's plenty of people that can have plenty of babies like on their own without any help, that like they're not the best parents.
They shouldn't be being parents either.
So who are we to say like what is right and wrong? Like I come back to like, let's have some moral compass and do the right thing and have, I agree with you, Christy, like keep the government out of what I can do with my body. Like, yeah. And that's the bigger conversation that's happening in the US right now. Yeah. It's not just surrogacy rights. It's reproductive rights. It's IVF. It's
the morning after
abortion.
Pill.
I mean, it's really moving in a troublesome way from a female perspective, when you care about the sanctity of life and then the sanctity of women choosing what that looks like on every level.
Yeah. But think of all that. I have a handful of friends that all use surrogates. They've gone to sperm banks. They've gotten eggs. Yeah. And the joy that when they wake up and their child like holds their hand, you forget how it came about. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you have a soul who's your bestie, who's part of you inside and out. And it doesn't matter how they got there. And it's just, they're part of your family. So I mean, for me, I think it's incredible to hear your story. And I see the smiles on my friends' faces too, that you don't look at them and go, oh, they had a surrogate. You look at them like, oh, that's their daughter. That's their son. You don't,
Luca,
that it's like being pregnant.
Luca looks just like his dad. And yeah. Revy Lefevy looks just like her mom. I mean, it's, they are.
People all the time like, oh my God, Rev looks just like you.
She does.
Like, yes. You make, like, you look like your best friends. Yeah. How many times, like,
look like you look like your pet.
Yeah.
Look like my husband and my pet.
Well, but stunning. So there
yeah.
You go.
I mean, science is magical. Science is magical. If you use it in the right way. I don't agree with choosing if you want a boy or a girl. If you're doing IVF, I think that's really going above and beyond, but it's, science is magical, and you just have to look above and say, hey, thanks for making this happen, and believe for it to happen and do what it takes if you really want something and you want a baby. And I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see them and go surfing.
Where are they? Yes. Experience.
Revy.
I heard you were just in Malibu.
Yeah, we're going today. 3 days of surf camp.
All of the listeners out there, Rev is translated into the word dream in French. So that's her name.
I'm going to mute my mic so I can scream for them. Hold on one second.
Chrissy's just an amazing story to have, just all the universe come together when she walks in, sees you, and then Pat walks in the door. I mean, who wouldn't want the best for your best friend? I would do it for any of my friends. Well, not any of them. One of my good friends needed my eggs, and they're really old now, but
Pat didn't even question it. He just looked at me.
Of course
he's
not.
Like, okay, what? He's like,
I mean, it literally was like a crickety screen door. Like, crack. I'm going to give Chrissy and Ludo my eggs. Cool. Can I have a beer? I remember like yesterday.
I know. It was so funny. So, and you know what? So many people said to me, like, are you going to be okay with this? Like, aren't you like emotionally attached to your eggs? And to tell you the truth, I'm not emotionally attached to my eggs. Like, I know that they're my eggs, but I know that they were going to.
Everybody wants to just say hi to the miracle that we made. Come here, baby. Just come here, baby.
I'm gonna do my hair.
I will do your hair after.
Oh, Revy Lefevy.
Hi, Revy.
Hi.
That's Darian. That's Patrick's sister. So that's her.
Hi, sweetheart.
And that, you know, Jen Berenius.
And who am I?
Farley. Oh, and look who else is here. Come here, Mickey.
I was known as the fairy godmother for a very long time.
They can't see you. Say hi.
Hi.
There's Mickey.
Yeah, so big.
Oh my God, he looks just like Ludo.
I know.
How so adorable.
You guys? I saw that you guys slept on the trampoline last night, sleepover, and now you're headed to Malibu for a little surf camp.
Yeah.
I mean, I want spring break again.
I know.
I want to go to Malibu on a surf camp right now.
And P.S., your mom rocks. I mean, she is the best, isn't she? I hope you guys tell her that all the time. I'm waiting.
No, I've been forbidden from taking photos of her any longer. They're horrible. Mom, stop. Like, at least get my good angle.
Wow.
I don't think you have a bad angle.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Ravi.
I don't think she does either.
You know what I'm saying? You.
Well, I think that hopefully, you know, if anybody's on the fence out there and they're thinking about, you know, taking the leap of faith, it works. We are proof in the pudding.
It works, but it's expensive. You got to get a good contract. I mean, you do. There's scary things in it, but that's for us to make those decisions. If you're anything is a risk in life, that's worth it. Like, if you don't take chances, and if you've been out there and you've been suffering and you've thought about a surrogate, look, I've had one not great experience and one amazing experience. But the amazing experience happened when we brought Farley's eggs into the mix. I think that was the key, because I think mine were so traumatized because my eggs, because it was, you know, they were taken during the cancer and it just been so much bad juju, and they weren't ready to be brought in. They weren't meant to be brought into this world where, you know, our angel Farley over there, hers were.
Happy.
You have two beautiful souls.
Tribute. Exactly.
What a beautiful story. I mean, thank you so much, Chrissy, for sharing this.
You're welcome. Journey. Get gritty when you want a baby. Get gritty.
Yeah.
Get it. Make it happen.
You are the perfect first guest for us to have. And yes, I couldn't have thought of a better person. So love you, Pooh.
Thank you
so much, Chrissy.
Bye, girls.
So much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Girls Gone Gritty. Tune in next week and we'll have some more incredible shows for you down the pipeline.
If you are interested in seeing some pictures from our journey, please, you know, go to Instagram or our website.
Have a good day. Peace out.
Peace out, people. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Girls Gone Gritty.
You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
If this episode hits home, share it with someone who needs to get gritty.
The 3 G's. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.